through the dead of night, seeking out broadcasting injustice wherever it appears. Only one man can wield it. Media Bat with Tim Bat, only on 95 BFM.
Kia ora, Tim.
I reckon you're underselling it a little bit.
What?
We were talking about gentrification.
Well, we were talking about gentrification, which ended up talking about fish and chip shops that have closed.
I've just
that all
moved,
the pigeons lived in.
I've moved from Greyland to Sandringham, and Rachel and I were swapping stories about the old fish and chip shop, which is now Wise Boys?
No. Wise Boys.
About that one. That's the one that the pigeons used to live in. Because I don't know if that place was legally allowed to operate, but it had the cheapest burgers.
Yeah.
Cheapest chips, some would say.
Some would say.
When we flatted in Greyland, like around that particular part of Greyland, we used to go to one fish and chip shop to get the hash brown burger that everyone thinks is a secret but everybody knows about, and then go to the other fish and chip shop to actually get the chips, and then go to the other fish and chip shop to get the fish, because they all had different specialties and they were all very, very cheap, and those are days of the past now. We're here to talk about media. What is happening in the media, Tim?
I've got three. I've got two chunky ones and one kind of nice one. Do you want that? Or do the nice one first, eh?
Give us the nice one first. Ease us into it.
The nice one was just, this was from a write-up that Duncan Grieve did at the spin-off, marking the occasion of 1 year on from the near-death and $1 deal of Stuff. Stuff's ownership changing hands into Sinead Bocher. So it's been 12 months since Sinead became the CEO and bought the embattled media company for $1 off Australia's Nine company, and
still a really baller move when you put it like that, eh?
Super risky, happening at a time of huge turmoil in the media industry. The whole reason for it being sold for $1 is a combination of these falling revenues and the fact that other players in New Zealand had tried to buy it and were blocked by the Communist Commission. There was just a lot of bad cloud around it, dragging it down, and quite a history of sort of a bad reputation because they pursued the clickbait thing so steadfastly.
Yeah.
The Herald made a decision very early on, you know, in online terms, to install a paywall for some of their content. And they're still to this day, like, in a minority of major New Zealand news outlets who have done it. Not that we have that many, but Stuff never went down that route. Mm. And as a result, they had to pursue just maximum traffic numbers to get those ad serves. So they kind of got a reputation for clickbait and low quality journalism, you know, rightly and wrongly. Sinead Bocher bought it. She's really turned the company around.
Crazy, crazy turnaround in such a short period of time, in fact, that I kind of was listening to you say that just then, and I was like, man, was that recently? That was, because I go to Stuff now for pretty, you know, reliable sources and like interesting opinion pieces that don't feel like clickbait, that don't feel like they're trying to incite some kind of polarized view. I mean, obviously there's the exception. There is still the odd weird bit that ends up in there. But
I still got to serve the ads. You know,
still got to serve the ads.
Get that traffic. But things like hiring Ali Moore when she was, you know, really fiercely engaged in the Me Too reporting, which that predated her, her time at Stuff. But Stuff really grabbed her as a result of that and championed her and strengthened that series. Stuff's apology to Māori in November of last year, which was initiated by Stuff's Potaiki editor Carmen Parahi. There's been all of these incredible milestones that have happened in the last 12 months, and it just seems to be going from strength to strength. So, yeah, just wanted to sort of cast some more light on a good news story for a change
in
the media. And good on you, Duncan Grieve, for, you know, marking the occasion and pointing that out as well. Which also was just kind of him writing up an event that they put on. But, you know, it's important to celebrate our local media success stories.
It is indeed, especially in this climate.
So now we can get on to the darker stuff. Everyone probably knows about this, but just in case for the uninitiated, there is a movie that has been revealed based around the Christchurch Moss shootings called They Are Us, which has come out and endured an enormous amount of backlash online. The movie is set about the week that unfolds after the 2019 Christchurch mosque attacks.
2019? Oh, God. How much time has passed?
I think it's 19.
It is. Yeah, 2019.
Shit.
People have been super concerned about multiple aspects of the film, primarily around the fact that the actress portraying Jacinda Ardern was announced. Rose Byrne, who's an Australian actress who you might know from Bridesmaids and Get Her to the Greek. She's a really good actor, but not relevant. The concern was that this film was going to centre around a whole kind of white saviour storyline about how Jacinda Ardern reacted. And, you know, obviously this is a story about the loss of 51 Muslim worshippers in Christchurch.
Mm.
So there was a huge hashtag that got started online, They Are Us Shut Down, which was asking all New Zealanders who were asked to work or assist on the film to not do so. There's a petition on change.org, which is up to 68,000 people signing it to try and block the production from happening. Philippa Campbell, who's a Kiwi producer, has quit in the wake of the backlash. But the movie does seem to be going ahead. I was just reading an update in Deadline, which is a Hollywood news outlet from yesterday, who have reported on a statement that was released jointly by members of the Christchurch Muslim community, represented by two imams there that represent two of the major mosques, and some of the film's producers. So the film's producers have said that they consulted with the Christchurch Muslim community over a year ago, interviewed survivors and families of victims of the attack, and that they're going to go back and continue to do that more now. So yeah, it's pretty interesting because considering the backlash, I mean, I would have put my money on the fact that the movie couldn't have gone ahead, but it does seem to still be happening. I'm not quite sure how that's going to fare with it being produced in New Zealand, because there is just,
I mean,
so much ill feeling about this thing going ahead.
Leanne Dalziel was like, "You're not welcome. You're not going to be welcome here. Can't stop you from coming, but you will not be welcome." Things like that. And even the Prime Minister has said this isn't the story that should be told. You know, this is some interesting stuff, because those are the things you'd think on an international stage would make you know, make some sort of a splash, because it's interesting to see how the bubbles of the internet have reacted to this. Like, in New Zealand, it's been pretty much unanimously, "What the heck are you doing?" And then overseas, there's been more of a like, "Oh, yay, girl power story," which is shocking, but not surprising.
The interesting thing is, like, the announcement of Rose Byrne portraying Jacinda Ardern is really the only information that is publicly available about the film. In the statement that was released more recently by the film's producers, they have stressed that the story really centres around multiple storylines, and a lot of it is Muslim New Zealanders in New Zealand and these acts of heroism that they acted on and did in the wake of the tragedy and during the tragedy. So it's I don't know what's going to happen with this movie. It seems crazy that it would go ahead in the wake of this backlash, but it also seems like the interpretation that this was a movie about Jacinda Ardern, which seemed to be the feel online when this first got announced, is also like not correct.
But that was weirdly the statement they were running with from all of the press releases, was basically like, it's not, don't worry, it's not going to centre on the trauma, it's going to centre on this sort of story of like hope
the
and redemption.
Of it. And the title of it is They Are Us, which is a quote from Jacinda Ardern. So,
and
you know,
and a much embattled quote in and of itself.
Absolutely.
Ay, ay, ay.
Oh my God.
Moving over to Australia, this is an interesting story that's unfolded over the last 48 hours. So there's this YouTuber called Friendly Geordies, Jordan Shanks is his real name. Young guy, I think he's in his 20s still, and he's a comedian and a political commentator. He's gotten really successful over the last couple of years, and he hates the government. He's in Sydney. He hates a lot of the central figures of the New South Wales National Party, and he's had this ongoing battle and just been hitting it out, in particular against the Deputy Premier, John Barilaro, who's, I mean, I've got to say, a dude with a lot of very dodgy marks in his past.
Do you have any examples?
Well, there's a land deal that Jordan Shanks actually sort of co-uncovered with some journalism outlets that it looks like the dude kind of stole a building in 96 to benefit his family to the tune of $700,000 before he was a member of parliament. He's done a lot of dodgy stuff. He is the head of the New South Wales National Party in Australia, which is the centre-right party, and they've been doing some really terrible stuff ecologically, destroying environments and habitats for koalas and other native species there. Jordan Shanks is a big sort of animal rights dude. So, you know, He's a funny dude. He's been getting a lot of steam. He's been really heading out against this deputy premier. This all came to a head because John Barilaro has been threatening to sue Jordan Shanks for a little while, about the last month. He then served Jordan Shanks with a notice that he was being sued. And then Jordan Shanks's producer, who's only 21, randomly ran into John Barilaro at a park, saw him like talking on his phone, had the statement with him, which had some errors on it because it had his stated residential address as like the government, you know, the parliamentary building, which wasn't correct. So they were like, hey, this is a legal document. You've got the wrong address. So, hey, man, this is incorrect. You can't, this is null and void. That doesn't work. And as a result of the producer running into him and trying to give him back the subpoena or whatever the legal document was, John Barilaro has laid stalking charges against the producer and sent a counter-terrorism unit to the guy's house. Pulled him out of his parents' house, severely injured and almost killed his dog, this counter-terrorism unit, and knocked over his 50-something-year-old mother.
Oh, my God.
And so there's video footage that's come out. The video footage wasn't taken by police at the time. Jordan Shanks managed to release it afterwards. So it directly, there's like a couple of bits of video evidence here. One is the actual incident where the 21-year-old producer approached the deputy premier, which contravenes the statement that the premier gave to police. It's like the two events are completely different.
Crazy.
What he has told police happened seems to be contradicted massively by this video.
Right.
And then what the counterterrorism unit said happened when his 21-year-old producer got arrested, that has also been contradicted by the video evidence of what unfolded. And and Jordan Shanks has put this on his YouTube channel. So you can kind of compare these statements by the authorities versus what's unfolded on the video. So it's really kicked up a notch now, obviously. This is all unfolded in the last couple of days. It's going to be interesting. Very high-powered lawyers are involved. This is going to test particularly New South Wales, but kind of federal politicians and how they react to this. Media institutions, which are very right-leaning predominantly, like there's a lot of Murdoch influence in Australia, and also the courts themselves, who obviously will be under a lot of pressure from a very high-powered politician.
This is crazy.
Yeah, so Jordan Shanks, whatever you think of him, he's a very punchable guy, you know, he's a very smug dude, but he really is having a huge impact online against the centre-right government that's currently in charge on a federal and state level all across Australia. So,
phew.
Watch this space. I'll give you some updates on this because it is an interesting story.
That is a very interesting story. Tim, thank you very much for a fantastic media bat as per usual.
You're welcome.
We will see you next week.
Ka kite.
Come back next week for another exciting adventure on Media Bat, only on 95 BFM. And